Father, we come before you and we thank you for another opportunity, Lord, to do a reference to one of Patrick's teachings, reference chapter 38, Lord. And I thank you for the word that you gave me, Father. It was pretty quick that you gave me this teaching. And I think it really, really biblically, doctrinally, it simplifies this for a pastor to teach on something like this. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would minister to us through it. We love you, Lord, and we just commit this time to you. In Jesus' name, amen. So the Lord led me to John 14, verses 12 to 20, and it's something Jesus said. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. So, of course, we've been redeemed. We are now born again believers. And along with that, God has given us a list of things that we need to be doing as believers. So here in the text, Jesus tells the disciples, the helper he would send would guide them into all truth. In fact, in verse 18, it says it would be by and through the Holy Spirit that he, Jesus, would come back to them. Think about that. This happened, of course, on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2, when the apostles finally understood what Christ was speaking about. So let's look at verse 12. Jesus said, most surely I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. Now the works he spoke of were his miraculous works, works he had done that actually gave proof of who he was and of his commission, his mission that he had. He promises to those who believe in him. But as you study the New Testament, you'll find there was a faith connected with the power to perform miracles. The disciples asked Jesus why they couldn't cast a demon out of a man's son in Matthew 17, verses 20 to 21. And I think what he said surprised them. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. For assuredly I say to you, if you have faith as a mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, move from here to there, and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you. However, this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Well, this kind of faith, like all faith, has to rest on a divine revelation made to the person having this faith. It's through a belief of God's revelation. It's a reliance on the power and faithfulness of God who made it for a miracle to happen. We see that in Hebrews 2, verses 1 to 4. So what are these greater things Jesus was speaking of? First, the preaching of a risen and exalted Savior. Secondly, the proclaiming of the gospel to every person. Thirdly, the turning of souls from darkness to light. And fourth, turning from the power of Satan to the service of the living God. These things were far greater. This is how the Father honored his Son, by the greater works which the Holy Spirit did through the disciples. It also meant Jesus would now give power to their prayers, so what they did, he would do in and through them. In verses 13 to 14, he said, "In whatever you ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." So Jesus told them he was going to return to the Father. He says greater things would be done through and by them, the disciples, as a testimony of his glory. He tells them his absence would only bring them closer to him spiritually in an intimate and special way. In other words, he was laying it out. He said, look, I'm going to be in heaven, you're still going to be on earth. But through prayer, I want you guys to catch this, through prayer, they could come into his presence at any time and in any place. Man, they hit me like a ton of bricks. I knew this, but it just never really captured my thought like this. They were to count on a power that could not fail if they were seeking it in a right way. Now, even though he was absent, he would manifest his deity by granting their petitions, because he did say whatever they asked, he would do. Now we know the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. That's why Jesus is the one who judges. That's also why he's going to be the one sitting on the throne judging the world through that 7-year great tribulation. And also, Revelation 20, the white throne judgment, the Father's not going to be on the throne judging. Jesus is. So in the exercise of this power, he gives those who believe in him whatever they need. You know, and I had to ask, what is meant by asking in Christ's name? What exactly, how does that fit in here? Well, first, we pray like we're standing in Christ's place, as being identified with him. We ask because of our union with him. Secondly, we pray to God on behalf of his Son. It works like this. When we use someone else's name as the authority of our appeal, the one of whom the request is made looks beyond him who presented the petition to the one for whose sake he grants the request. So when we ask in the name of Jesus Christ, the Father looks past us and sees the Son as the one going before the Father. Thirdly, we pray for his perfect will and for what will glorify him. So here's the key. When we do anything in another person's name, it's always for that person we do it. Now, it doesn't mean the Lord is handing us a blank check to fill in the blanks, and God will honor it simply because it bears his Son's name. Asking in the name of Christ is to set aside our own will and ask God for his perfect will. In verse 15, this is where he said it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, I need you to follow me on this. Unless the first desire of our hearts is to glorify him, none of our petitions will be answered. 1 John 3, verse 22 to 23. Think about this. The one who wrote on the tablets of stone that Moses had there on Mount Sinai. This is scriptural. This is the Bible. Is the same one who died on the cross. So with that authority, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. I mean, that's exactly what God told Moses on Mount Sinai in Exodus 20, verses 4 to 6. What's Jesus doing here? He's maintaining his divine majesty and insisting on the recognition of his divine authority and saying, keep my commandments. So Jesus is pointing out, I am the one who brought Israel out of Egypt. I led them across the wilderness. I was the rock that Moses struck and the water came out, where he misrepresented me. I was stricken once. I died once. Moses hit the rock twice. He misrepresented me. That's why he didn't go into the promised land. Jesus is saying, I gave them the law. It was me, Jesus. You know what's interesting? We find the Apostle Paul affirming this in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. In verse 16, he continues, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. Well, in verse 15, Jesus speaks of having a love for him that would be marked by a walk of obedience. Here he reveals his love for them. He asks the Father to send the one who would empower them and help them to keep his commandments. You see, until now, Christ had been the disciples' helper. But now he's leaving them. He's going to the Father. So he's asking the Father for another helper to be given to them. So a helper is one who stands alongside one in need to strengthen them. Of course, the reference is to the Holy Spirit. He's called another helper. He was to fill the place of Christ, doing for the disciples all he had done for them while he was with them on earth. I mean, it's amazing when you put that all together like that. It means Christ's presence is given to the believer through the Holy Spirit. Ephesians 1, verse 13 and 14. In verses 17 and 18, Jesus said of the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you. You see what he's doing? He's coming to us through the Holy Spirit. Now we need to understand the Holy Spirit will never work independently of God's word. He works by God's word and through God's word. Jesus gives another reason. Because the world cannot receive him, because it neither sees him nor knows him. The promise was the third person of the Trinity would live within believers as he would make their bodies his temple. Paul wrote about that, 1 Corinthians 3, verse 16 and 17. In verse 19, Jesus wrapped it up a little while longer, and the world will see me no more. But you will see me. Because I live, you will live also. At that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me. Here it is, and I in you. Through the Holy Spirit. The last time the world saw Jesus was when he hung on the cross, and after his resurrection, when he appeared only to his disciples. The world will see him again at his second coming, Revelation 1, verse 7. The world will see him when he's seated on the great white throne judgment to judge the wicked, those who are lost, 2 Thessalonians 1, verses 6 to 9. They saw him then. They were with him for three and a half years while he spoke to them. They saw him again and again after he had risen from the dead, 50 days. They saw him as he was taken up to heaven in a cloud there in Acts chapter 1. They saw him like we do, by faith, after he had taken his seat at the right hand of God the Father to make intercession for the church. They see him now because they are now in his presence. They're with him. They will be with him at his second coming, and we'll see him throughout eternity because we all will live with him forever. The ultimate reference is to the day of his glorious manifestation. Then shall we know, even as we are known, for we will be like him. When I think of redemption, and I think of our standing now before Christ, that we are now literally seated in the heavenly places with him, it just puts me in awe. And to see him throughout the Old and New Testament, and these things, the depth of what we've studied here, as he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Father, we come before you and we thank you for your word. Thank you for the things you continue to reveal to us, Lord God. Lord, we have a commitment to live this kind of life. We have a commitment to you to allow the Holy Spirit, another helper, as Christ helped the disciples 2,000 years ago, He sent another helper to keep them going and for the church to keep on going. He is now in us. And Father, we just want to thank you just for the understanding of that and pray that you would now go before us the rest of this day and this week, Father, as we lift this to you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.